and welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a brand new special segment called Throwback, where we tell stories from our childhood about fake curls and fake friends. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, welcome to episode 108. Hey, Laura, how are you doing?
Hi, Shauna. I'm good.
Good. What's going on with you guys? How old is your little one?
He is 17 months and 3 weeks. And yeah, this week, I don't know. I feel like we're in toddler land, like in big flashing neon letters, you know?
Like the Vegas of parenting?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like it's a very fun time. But right now, I'm having this feeling like so much of my day is setting limits.
Oh.
And I'm finding it just really exhausting right now. Mm-hmm. So we've made our house as baby-proofed, I think, as possible for the moment. It's an ongoing process, as you know. You know, they can't reach on top of a table and then suddenly they're tall enough to reach. And you're like, well, okay, I guess I can't put anything on this table anymore. That sort of thing, right?
Right. Work in progress.
Yes. But as far as like, you know, the configuration of our house, I think we've kind of maxed out what we can do to keep it safe for the baby. So we've like moved the coffee table that was dangerous off into the corner and kept it away from him. And, you know, we've cleared out all the space for him to run around and have a play mat in the middle, and all the cabinets and doors on things are secured. And it's as baby proofed as it gets, except we have a couch and we have a console table behind the couch.
Right, which he rolled off of recently.
He sure did. He rolled off of it, and he's really like, he knows that it's a thing that gets my attention. So when I have to be in the kitchen, which is right next door, like it's an open floor plan house.
it's right there.
So it's like right on the other side of a baby gate. If I have to do like anything in the kitchen, he will like end up on top of the console table because he knows that gets me back into the living room. And I'm trying to do the thing where I don't give it power, but I have to get him off of it because he has fallen off of it, right? So I'll just be like, baby, you need to get off. I want you to get off. And I'll like try to stay really calm and slowly move over there and like remove him from it. But he's smart. He's like, he knows that if nothing else, it gets me back into the room with him.
Oh, clever.
So we're just trying to do the best we can by setting that as a limit and reinforcing it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just hate being in that mode all the time, you know? Like, it just feels like endless, don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, even with the whole Rye technique thing, like, that's off limits. I don't want you to do that. Blah, blah, blah. You know, instead of being like, no. Mm-hmm. It's still just like, ugh. Like,
oh, well, I think that I love the Rye method. You know me. I'm all about it. But sometimes I think that going that route is actually more exhausting because you are trying to hold in your true frustration, which is exhausting, and using more words instead of just being like, no, which I do sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I will say no. But instead of like, no, it's like, I can't let you climb on. And, you know, it's just like more words. Your brain is searching for the right quote unquote, right, respectful words. And it's a lot of energy. So I hear you 100%.
But I want to stick with it because I know that the word no loses power if you use it too much. And I really want to save that for like life-threatening situations.
Oh, you mean
like the actual word no is what I'm saying. The word no. You know, I'm trying to save that like for really important things, not just like you crushed your graham cracker on the ground, you know, like stuff that's not that important. But yeah, I just feel like I'm constantly setting the limits. And I know that's the whole deal about having toddlers is like they push the limits and you have to like create boundaries for them. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, can we just have an afternoon where you like play and I don't have to set a damn limit and we can just have fun, you know?
Just have fun, like sit down and play Monopoly like adults or something.
Oh my God. Yeah,
no, I hear you. And it's the quarantine, you know, we're still in
the
pandemic. And so it's, with the exception of our husbands, we are on all day, every day. It's not like, because I'm exhausted by this same exact thing with two kids. Elle is usually at school all day, so I don't have to, you know, set limits with her. And so it's like we're just on all day, every day. And it's really draining. I'm so drained of constantly being like, you know, gentle with your sister. Don't grab her neck. Gentle with this. Gentle with that. No, don't. You know, it's like, oh my God, that's, I've just become like this weird toddler drill sergeant.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. And I feel like you're right. It probably does have a lot to do with being confined and sort of like the nonstop aspect of it. Like, I just feel like I just want to go to the zoo. You know, like, I just need, we need some distractions, and they're few and far between. And so it's like, I'm going to climb on the console table.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, so that's sort of how I feel. That's draining this week. However, I will share some fun stuff, some fun developmental stuff and cute stuff before we go. Because I don't, it's not all bad. It's just, I, you know, I like to vent. I know that it's, you know, parenting is not all adorable new words and hugs and kisses from your kids, although that is a part of it. So,
yep.
This week, the fun stuff is my little guy, I think he said his first sentence.
Oh, what was it? Mama, can I please climb on the console table?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And then I let him because I was like, that's amazing.
He busts out with a 16 word sentence. Yeah. He's a little genius.
He's the perfect syntax. No. Yeah, sentence is a very loose term. He said, statue, go.
Oh.
So he's obsessed with this statue that's at this botanical gardens around the corner from us. Uh-huh. And so that when we go out, I'll be like, where do you want to go? You know, which of the two parks do you want to go to, basically? And sometimes I'll say statue. And that means he wants to go see the statue, wants to go to that gardens. And the other day, as we were like packing up to go, he's like, where do you want to go? And he goes, statue, go. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is a noun and a verb.
Uh-huh.
Not in the right order.
Still, that's impressive. I mean, he's getting the right idea. Definitely branching out to new parts of speech.
Yes.
Verbs and, you know, adverbs and stuff is such a cool development. That's so cute.
Yes, yes. So I was really pleased with that. And also putting two words together is new. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then he has continued to practice his words as he's falling asleep. So, you know, he's like on his tummy and he just sort of starts saying things that he's thinking about. It's so fun to watch on the monitor. And so this time, I'm pretty sure I sent it to you, which it was, he was like on his tummy and he was lifting one arm in the air and going up. And then he would bring it down and go down. And he was just going over and over, up, down.
They really practice their skills in those cribs, man, when they're left to their own devices.
I know. It's so funny.
It's
I just crack up watching him. So I just thought that was the cutest thing. And I love, and this idea of like understanding up and down, like he puts his arm up. I think it's all from The Wheels on the Bus. He loves that song. So the windows on the bus go up and down. So
right,
up, down. And it's all, he's so dramatic. Up, down.
Oh, I love it.
So I just love their little language development. I find it so fun and just like unlocking what's in their brain. Like you can tell they're thinking about things now, you know, and the most random stuff comes out. You know?
Yeah, truly.
And you're just like, oh, so you were thinking about that. Okay.
And it's just one more step towards communication. The other day we were eating and Cece, usually if she wants something on the table that we're having, it's like, you know, pointing randomly. I'm like, what, this? And she like pointed to the plate of oranges and goes, orange. And I was like, oh, you want an orange? Oh my God. Okay. Here you go. Here you go.
It's like, how many oranges do you want? You
have exactly. Them all. Watch out. She's going to learn to say Mercedes and then I'll just hand it right over because I'm just so excited about her saying words. But yes, it's so, I just love it. So cute.
That is adorable. Yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on with us this week.
Cool.
Shauna, how old is that toddler of yours and how is being a toddler drill sergeant going this week?
It's good. She's 18 months, 2 weeks, and my responsibilities as a drill sergeant are definitely increasing because this little kid is becoming more and more independent every day. And this week, it seems like something clicked inside of her and she is just taking it upon herself to open the sliding glass door and go outside. Or if we're outside, she opens the sliding screen door and goes inside. I'm like, don't go in there. Like, I'm chilling outside. I have to follow you in there now. And
yeah.
It's like, oh my God. And she's trying to get her own snacks. You know, she's so snack obsessed.
Knack.
And now knack. She's figured out, knack. She knows where they are. And I think a lot of this, she learns from her bigger sister, right? She sees mm-hmm. Elle pull a little step stool or a chair over to the counter. And now she started doing that. It's yeah. like, oh my God, she's going to be climbing on the counters before I know it. Like, she can't get up there yet, but, you know, she stands up there, is like, knack, and can reach stuff on the counters. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God. But that's like the kind of, you know, frustrating signs of her independence, frustrating mm-hmm. for me. But then there's other cute stuff, like she is trying to put on her own pull-ups, her own socks, her own shorts. Aww. You know, like, she really wants to give it a go before I can really do it.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet. She's not good at it yet, obviously. But so I always have to step in.
Oh, harsh critic, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, the biggest thing is just the diaper changes have gotten so difficult. Like, she's just demanding to not do them, basically. And so it's very frustrating. And so the way I'm dealing with it is trying to be very flexible and offer options. So, uh-huh. like, if she doesn't want to go up on the changing table, I think of something, anything. I'm like, oh, do you want to put your changing pad on the floor?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, ah, and gets really excited. So we put that on the floor, and that works for a while. And then she gets bored of it. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. do you want to put your pillow on your changing table? Ah. So she's getting, like, I like giving into her feeling of independence, uh-huh. you know, to make yeah. this situation easier for me.
I was talking about this on a previous episode about how diaper changes are just getting really hard for us too. Mm-hmm. And it's just really hard when there's a poop. Like, mm-hmm. when there's a pee, you can go through, it can take for, you know, you can be like, well, you know, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? You want to be in the, you know, I'll offer, like, do you want to go to the futon? Do you want to do it on the in the living room?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to make a difference for him. It's so interesting. We were okay with, like, him picking his own diaper for a while, because we kind of mm-hmm. have, like, two types on hand. We have, like, normal diapers with a little tab, and then we got those 360 pull-up ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do we.
And sometimes that works, but not usually. But yeah, when it's pee, it's like, whatever. What's the worst thing? Like, they end up running around with a naked butt for a little bit. But, like, mm-hmm. when there's poop, it's a real problem, Shauna.
I know. I don't know. Maybe because I've been dealing with children's poop for 4.5 years, I'm a little bit less like about it. I'll just be uh-huh. like, do you want to go and change in the bathroom? Yeah. You know, and I don't bring a changing pad. I just let her stand there and I take it off and, like, find a way to wipe her little butt cheeks while she's standing there. And I mean, yeah, I've had some poop plop onto the floor. Sometimes this happens outside. We're playing. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like picking up a little turd off the floor is easier than enduring the whatever 30-minute tantrum that is likely to follow if I like try to force her to do it my way. Ugh, but yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's not easy. Mm-mm.
It's a struggle.
Yes, the struggle. So that's cool. And then speaking of tantrums.
Uh-huh.
Good Lord, this girl is loud. Oh my God, I know I have just talked about this to death on this show, but it never ceases to amaze me. Probably because Elle was so different, you know, mm-hmm. as a baby. She was loud, and she's loud now, but as a baby, she was just chill. And this kid is screaming loud, etc. Her tantrums have just gone over the top, and she is like a classic toddler throwing a tantrum that you would imagine. Like, the other day, it was a diaper thing. She couldn't get her way. She ended up screaming and crying for 30 minutes on her stomach. Like, I mean, she was rolling all over the room, yeah. you know, screaming, crying. And we're just sitting there with her being patient, trying to protect her little head.
Yeah.
And she just, like, rolls onto her tummy. She's kicking her legs. And her hands are outstretched. And her hands are in fists. And she's pounding the floor. Oh, I mean, God. I was just like, I should take a picture of this and sell it on the stock photo site. Because it is so, such a classic tantrum that I never saw Elle throw ever. But I guess, you know, it's classic for a reason. Kids do it. You know, yeah. she's not crazy or weird or anything. It's just always like, whoa. Wow, you're really going for it, girl.
Huh. Yeah. Oof. Do you ever feel like laughing when they're doing the tantrums?
If I weren't so just completely drained, I mean, I think I snicker a little bit. Like, I might look at Steve. Yeah. God damn. But yeah, the ear piercing, the cry, it's just like, I'm mostly catatonic, just like, what is
disassociating.
Going on? Yeah, when is this going to end?
Oh. Have you ever taken one of those like free decibel meter apps to her to see like what level she's screaming?
No, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I downloaded one when my baby was a newborn and I got paranoid that the white noise was too loud. Uh-huh. Like someone on some Facebook moms group had posted something about how white noise hurts baby's ears. And I was like, oh no. And so, and it turned my, you know, wasn't very loud at all. Yeah. But yeah, it was like dB meter free, you know.
Ooh, I definitely need to do that. That would be very interesting. Because, you know, she's also just screaming randomly. I talked about that before. Uh-huh. Just walking around the house. Ah! It's like, what are the decibels on that, too? I'd like to
know. Yeah, let's find out.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I'll do that test and then check in on that next week.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, that's us this week. Mostly really good, hanging in there, feeling all the big feelings, expressing all the big feelings in this house.
Yes.
Oh, except for me. I'm holding them all in and being like, I can't let you do that. And then I go cry in my room. Just kidding.
I have to say that I like the Rye method and I like the not giving too much power to these things, right? Like not reacting huge to him getting on the console table, because I can totally see how that reinforces it. Mm-hmm. But I'm also a little bit on the side of like making sure that he sees my emotions, you know, yes. And making sure that he sees like when I'm frustrated that I'm telling him like, I'm frustrated because mm-hmm. you don't want to change your diaper, you know, then that's making mommy a little bit frustrated, but we're going to work through it, you know, mm-hmm. to show him that his actions do affect me, you know, mm-hmm. and affect the people around him. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do that in a non-manipulative way, like, you know. And
yeah, I do a non-shameful way. I think a lot of times it can accidentally come off as like, I don't know, you're making mommy sad or something.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, of course, yeah, we want our kids to also know that we're humans with lots of feelings and that mm-hmm. their presence in the world affects other people, definitely. Yeah. So it is that fine balance of being honest with your emotions, but also like kind of staying, as Janet Lansbury would say, unruffled.
Unruffled, yes.
And yeah, not overreact too much to their minor transgressions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. It's a practice. It's not something into parenthood knowing how to do, so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anyway, should we take a quick break and then come back with our very new, very special segment?
Yeah, let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Alo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Alo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Alo Moves has to offer, visit alomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Alo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's alomoves.com, code BFP. alomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back. So we have a brand new special segment that we've concocted for y'all. It's called Throwback. And what we're doing is we are telling stories from our childhoods, and we are reflecting on how that might influence our parenting or just our outlook on life. And I just think it'll be really fun. So yeah. Shauna, I'm dying to hear what your throwback story is for today.
Okay. So I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and lived in a little subdivision, like a little HOA neighborhood. And this story takes place when I was in sixth grade. And I've talked before on the show about how I was kind of a loud, hyper kid, but at the same time, I was also very obedient, studious, very smart, wanted to be like really perfect and please all the adults in my life and be very mm-hmm. goody two shoes. So coming around to sixth grade, it started to feel like that wasn't a cool persona to have anymore. I wanted to be a little bit more cool. And by this time, you know, I have a horrendous eyesight. So I've got like these ginormous glasses that take up like 3/4 of my face because that was the, I guess, style back then.
They were fantastic. We are definitely posting that to our Instagram.
Oh, I might have already. I don't know. You guys, you might have seen this picture of me. Anyway. So that's me. And I did not want to be relegated to like the pool of what I considered like actual nerds, you know, because I felt like I had more in me, like more personality, mm-hmm. more to give. And I really wanted to be friends with like the little bit edgier people. So I started trying to befriend a group of girls that were, you know, into cool music like New Kids on the Block, whereas, you know, I listened to like oldies like the Monkees on rotation. in my own life. And the style back then was to like hairspray your hair up to the ceiling, you know, your bangs and all this stuff.
What year is this? I feel like we need to put it in context because we have listeners who range in ages.
Yeah. This is probably 1989. I was like 11, I think. So yeah, probably like 1989.
Okay.
Yeah. So the end of the 80s. And so there's this one girl in this group that I really liked. Her name was Lisa. And she just had this more of an edge, like a little bit of a badass. And I just wanted to be her friend. And one day she was over playing at my house. We were hanging out. And she's like, you know, this Great Skate has this like teen night that we could go to. And that'd be so fun. And Great Skate is like a skating rink in the neighborhood. But they had like the cool night, you know, where the lights are low and the little disco balls, you know, and the music and stuff.
Did you say teen as in teenager? Not.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you might have said team as in groups of people. Okay. Teenagers.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Teens, teenager. And even though I was like 11. So I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And she's like, but, you know, it costs money. It's like 10 bucks or whatever. And I was like, oh, I don't have money. She's like, go ask your parents for money. And I'm like, whatever, they just didn't have that cash or whatever. So she was like, well, I have a great idea. And I'm like, what? And she's like, let's sell Girl Scout cookies. And I'm like, well, we're not Girl Scouts.
First problem.
She's like, so? I'm like, we don't have Girl Scout cookies. She's like, so? This girl was so like confident and aggressive. Like these major obstacles did not bother her whatsoever.
It's amazing.
Like, we don't have Girl Scout outfits. So here's her plan. She's like, let's just get a notepad and a pencil and something to collect our money in. So I got like an old coffee can, like a Folgers can from my mom's house. And we like wrapped it in paper and wrote Girl Scouts on it. And she's like, let's just go door to door and tell people we're taking pre-orders for cookies. All they have to do is give us money, give us like a dollar, and they'll tell us what kind of cookies they want. We write it on the notepad and then boom, we've stolen money from them. She didn't say that, but now as an adult, I realized that that's what that was, right?
Yes.
I was just kind of like, I knew it was bad. I was super nervous, but like, I wanted to impress this girl and be part of her clique. It's like, okay, let's do it. So we start going around, and I'd lived in this neighborhood a long time. I had done legit, you know, fundraising activities for school in this neighborhood, and I knew who the generous people were. So basically, like, I provided intel because I was a little bit too nervous to go up to the door. And she would go up and be like, hi, you know, I'm selling Girl Scout cookies. Do you want to pre-order? And people were doing it. People were giving her money and telling her what kind of cookies they wanted.
Yeah, because everyone loves Girl Scout cookies. Like, they were probably like, oh, my God, I didn't know it was Girl Scouts cookie season. Here, take all my money.
Yeah, right. Maybe it was really the greatest scam in history. God. So anyway, we probably hit like, I don't know, 9 or 10 houses and get some money. And then in the middle of this neighborhood HOA that I lived in was a grassy park. And we were taking a break for a minute. And I was like counting the money in the park. And she's like, I'm going to hit that house over there. And I was like, okay, perfect. So she went up to knock on this lady's door. And all of a sudden, my mom drives by in her red Nissan Sentra. And I waved and I was like, oh, fuck. And she waved. And then I was like, okay, she's gone. She's like not suspecting anything. And then she stopped the car and like literally reversed and came back to me and rolled down the window. And I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, we're just hanging out. She's like, what is that? What is that money? What is that can? And I was like, oh, nothing. And she's like, what is Lisa doing at so-and-so Mrs. Barnaby's house? I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. She's like, well, I know Ms. Barnaby. I'm going to go ask her what's going on. What's going on? Like, my mom knew, you know, she knew. I was so suspicious and I thought I could pull off this lie. But my mom had so much intuition. She was just like, tell me the truth. And, you know, of course, I broke down and was like, we're pretending to be Girl Scouts and go around and get money for cookies and so we can go to Great Skate. And she was just like, no. So took me back home, took the money. I think I'm pretty sure Lisa had just taken off. Like there was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem like the type of person to stick around and, you know, take responsibility.
Oh, hell no. No, no, no. So I took the full brunt of this. I think my parents tried to contact Lisa's mom, but, you know, I think she was like a single mom, probably working really hard, you know, busy and whatever. Didn't have time to deal with this situation. And oh my God, I was devastated. This was like the biggest thing I had ever done wrong in my life. And my parents wanted to make me go back around to all the houses and return the money and explain what I'd done. And I was mortified. Oh my God. Cause I was like, I know these people. They like have given me money for my softball candy bars that were real. And I was like, oh my God, please don't, please, please, please don't make me do this. And like a few days went by and I couldn't get a hold of Lisa's mom. And I don't know. I guess like they just saw my remorse. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll have to ask my mom why they changed their mind on this. They did not make me go around the neighborhood, my parents. I was grounded, had to do extra chores, and then I had to donate all that money to charity. And I just will never forget that. Just the intuition of her knowing I was lying, just being able to laser through and, you know, do what she needed to do to find out the truth. And their punishment was good, right? It scared the shit out of me. But then mm-hmm. they also showed some lenience. Like, I learned my lesson, right? Clearly.
Yeah.
I remember it now, and I'm like reliving it as if it's happening without having to go back and humiliate myself to all my neighbors. So I really appreciate that, you know, lenience that they ended up giving me.
Well, I'm sure it would be so fascinating to call your mom and try to like get her side of the story. But I have a feeling they also probably knew that Lisa's influence was there, you know?
Oh, yeah, true.
Like they probably knew that you were such a freaking goody two shoes and you've never done anything like this. And then all of a sudden this quote unquote friend who ditches you in your time of need, you know?
The worst. The worst.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, do you know where Lisa is? Like, she's probably a billionaire. She probably
she probably runs some pyramid scheme empire. I don't know. I don't know. I think that she ended up like moving schools later that year or like the next year in junior high. And yeah, I never truly fit in to that group. You know, it was kind of a test for me to test the cool waters, and I was not cool enough for school, clearly. But yeah, so I don't know. Thinking about like when I catch my kids doing something quote unquote terrible, bad, immoral, how am I going to react to that? And maybe I'll reflect back on this experience in my childhood and have that kind of influence how I react. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because like listening to you talk about the threat of being forced to go up to the houses and like admit what you've done, even today is just like pit of my stomach. Like it wasn't my experience, it was your experience, and even I'm like, no, that sounds awful. Maybe it's because I'm like inherently kind of afraid of strangers too. But I can see how that would have been like an appropriate thing for your mom to make you do, right?
Yeah, especially because like I said, it's not like we were necessarily going to all the houses. I was like, I know that that family always donates to my fundraisers. They're friends of my parents, you know, like I know them. Let's scam them. And so it's like, oh my God, all the people I would have had to go to were the people that were, you know, in some way kind of family friends or friendly with us and stuff. And I just would have been, oh my God.
Well, thank you, Janet.
Yeah. Oh, I love my mom. She is the best. And yeah, maybe one day we'll get her on here and hear her side of the story because I would love to know.
Yes.
Anyway, and I should say I never was a Girl Scout, maybe for like a month. And I was like, this is boring. So I never was a Girl Scout. So this was just truly an out of the blue, weird anomaly for me all around.
I remember wanting to be a Girl Scout and my mom being like, you have to go to meetings like every week. I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, I did find those meetings boring. They were just like a meeting in the classroom or something. I'm like, I thought we were going to be outdoors and, I don't know, bowling. I don't know.
I thought there was going to be bowling involved.
The quintessential Girl Scout activity, bowling. Yes. I don't know why.
I'm sure there's a bowling patch.
Oh, there probably is. Oh, my God. Okay, so that's my throwback. I'm dying to hear your throwback.
Okay, so this actually takes place around the same time. I think it was more like 1991, 92. I was in fourth grade. And okay, So you all have seen pictures of me, I think, on Instagram, if you haven't, at BFP Podcast. I have very straight hair. I always have had very straight hair. And it's always been one of those grass is greener situations in that I've always desperately wanted curly hair.
Oh, girl, I feel you. Oh,
I have had so many friends with curly hair try to talk me out of this, try to convince me that my straight hair is easier to deal with, you know, like I don't have to care for it as carefully as my friends with curly hair, that it's easier to tame, quote unquote. It doesn't matter how many times they tell me this. I am convinced that my hair is like flat and boring and I wanted volume in my hair.
Which was important at that time in like the early 90s. It was all about volume. Oh, yeah.
All about volume. Yes, exactly. And I mean, my fourth grade hair, it was like a limp nothing, right? It was barely there. And for some reason, I had gotten it into my head. Oh, I know why. Because my mom is a geneticist. She is very, like, interested in just bodies and how they're different. Like, she'll see different configurations of bodies and, like, be able to identify if they have some kind of genetic condition and stuff like that. So she's very, like, focused on... That's her job, right? She's focused on it.
Oh, God. Well, now I'm going to be all self-conscious next time I see her.
No, no, no. It's just that she's always noticing stuff. It's not, like, a judgment call. She's just like, that person, you know, that person's forearms are longer than that person's or whatever. Anyway, the point is that she had commented many times on how both she and I had small head circumferences. Okay. She called it microcephalic. She's like thought that both she and I were microcephalic. I've measured my head. I am like fully within the normal head circumference range. It is on the smaller side. Hats don't fit me right. But anyway, so I was convinced I was microcephalic and I had flat hair.
Oh, that's a terrible combination in fourth grade.
Thank you. So I thought I had this like little pinhead on top of my body.
Oh, God, no.
And the only thing that would fix it was getting a perm. Right?
100%. Yes.
Early 90s, great time to get a perm. Right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's when I got my one and only perm.
But of course, my mom's not going to give a fourth grader a perm. Like, it's just not going to happen. Right? But she did indulge me in getting hair curlers.
Okay.
Right? So do you remember in the 90s, there were these like, they were pink tubes. Like, they had like rubber on the outside, but they were like metal on the inside, or they were flexible.
Yeah.
And they had like a hole at the end, almost like a bubble wand, but like a little hole at the end. And you would wrap your hair around the hot tubes. You'd like have all the tubes in the little heater, pull it out, wrap your hair around it, and then you'd bend the tube around, stick the end inside the hole, and you'd have like these little almost like hoop earrings all over your head.
I think I had those.
Yeah, I mean, they were all the rage.
Yeah,
I remember. So I don't, I wish I knew what they were called. But so I had those tube rollers or whatever you call them. And one morning, my we were just up early. My mom was like, I'll curl your hair before we go to school. So I did it. And I thought it looked great. Awesome. I had the curly hair of my dreams. And I went to school and told everyone I got a perm.
Oh, my God. How did that go over?
Should we find out after the commercial break?
All right, let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life,
like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, Laura. How did this go down? What happened? You told everyone you had a perm.
I told everyone at school I had a perm, and they were all very jealous. Everyone was like, oh, that's so cool. I can't believe your mom let you have a perm. That's amazing. I want a perm. You know, that sort of thing, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I felt very special. Until the end of the day, when I get home, and I see my mom. And it suddenly, like, dawned on me. It probably dawned on me because my curls were starting to fall out.
Yeah.
She probably used so much Aquanet on my hair that day because it actually stayed curly throughout the school day. But my hair does not keep curl at all. I was in a play in college that, for whatever reason, the director decided I needed to have curly hair. It was like Shakespeare or something. I was like, I don't know why. She was just like, you have to have curly hair. I'm like, all right. I had to go an hour earlier than everyone else to get my hair curled. They like would curl it, keep it pinned up until I was about to go on stage. And then I had to get it recurled at intermission. Everyone else is like relaxing at intermission. I had to get my freaking hair recurled.
Oh, that's baloney. Yeah.
That's how much my hair does not stay in curl, right?
That's bad. She should have given you a wig. Side note.
Thank you. It's a college theater production. Or just been like, you know what? Maybe this character does not need curly hair.
Yeah, exactly. This all minor, women in history had curly hair.
I think it was Ursula in Much Ado About Nothing. It's like the tiniest role. Anyway, whatever. I digress. So my hair was probably starting to go back to its natural flat limp state. And I looked and I was like, oh, crap. What's going to happen when I go to school tomorrow with my hair totally flat? And so I started crying and I told my mom, Mommy, I told everyone I got a perm. And I like still remember her face being like, you did what now? Like, and like just the disappointment. 'Cause, by the way, my mom is like, she was so busy. She was like being a super mom, two kids, working insane hours. She was on like every committee at the hospital. I mean, this woman was nonstop. And now her 10-year-old daughter is crying, saying that she has to have curly hair tomorrow or else everyone's going to know that I was a fraud.
Oh, no. What did your mom do?
Bless her heart. She curled my hair every day for like a week straight.
Aww.
And I even think she started making it like less and less curly, like as a like faint to make them think that it was starting to fall out. And then she figured, rightfully so, that like fourth graders have no attention span and that they would totally accept. And I remember her saying, like, just tell them the perm fell out.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Yeah.
And so after like the next week, you know, probably after the weekend, I showed up and I was like, oh, the perm fell out. And everyone was like, okay. That was it. That was the end.
Oh, my God.
My mother.
Your mom. What a superwoman.
I know.
Love it.
I would love to hear her side of the story, too, because
we should
have a, like, mom's call in.
Oh, the grandma's call in. That. Yes. Yeah.
You know, the way I think about it now is just like, I think I would probably do something similar because
I think
the calculation is like, okay, I could make this about lying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And make it a whole deal where she has to go and be humiliated and admit that she lied about something.
Mm-hmm.
And the lie was not about anything other than me, you know? Mm-hmm. It was about my vanity, sure, but it wasn't hurting. You know, it wasn't like directed towards anyone else.
Right.
It was just a thing that I blurted out. And sure, the harder, more like pull yourself up by the bootstraps reaction would be like, you got to fess up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she knew that that could be really damaging.
Yes.
Especially, you know, social interactions at that age are so precarious.
Mm.
And you can just see how I could become like the girl who lied about her perm.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You would like live in infamy with that. Like, people would still be remembering you as that girl
on
day.
Facebook, someone would be like, hey, do you guys remember that girl who lied about her perm? You know, like. You know, my mom was like, okay, we'll just get up extra early and get out that Aquanet for a week.
I love it. What sweetie. I could definitely see myself doing that for L. I'm just, or I guess CC too, you know, but L's like a little older now. So I'm like, I am just such a sucker for doing whatever I can to make her happy.
Mm-hmm. Just like smooth out the path a little bit.
Aww. Yeah. I love that story.
Anyway, but my hair is still flat. I've been dyeing my hair for about 15 years now, so it does keep curl a little better now.
Oh,
just so you know.
That's good to know.
It's a benefit. It turns out if you just continually damage your hair with hair dye, then you can also curl it and damage it more.
Fantastic. This is making me want to get a perm.
I know. This makes me want to at least like curl my hair.
Yeah.
Just for fun. Why
we're
not?
In quarantine. This is all about experimentation.
Do you know what I really wanted? Hmm. Like, if I won the lottery, I would get that freaking stupid expensive Dyson hair curler. Have you seen this?
No. What is that?
Oh, my God. It's like a $500 hair curler. It's insane. I got to try one once, and it's amazing because it's Dyson. You know, like, it's like, uses some blah, blah technology. It wraps the hair. So literally what it like has, like, fans that speed air around the tube of the hairdryer. There's no clip. So what you do is you take like a strand of your hair, place it next to it, and the hair automatically wraps itself around.
Oh, that sounds like a recipe for a nightmare. Come on.
No, it works really well because there's nothing for it to snag on. So even if it doesn't get tangled, it's amazing.
Oh my God.
And it dries your hair as it curls it. You do it on wet hair.
But I need this in
crowdfunding campaign for $500 hair. I mean, I can't justify it. Not to mention, we don't go anywhere.
Go anywhere. I know, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, who am I going to impress? But that does sound fun.
Right, but Dyson, if you're listening, I would, you know, you could get some free advertising. Just send one my way. Well, send one to Shauna, too.
You know.
Yeah.
Please do.
But yeah, so there you have it. I have straight ass hair.
Me too. I feel ya. Anyway, why don't we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Laura, time for our BFPs and BFNs. What do you got for us this week?
I've got a BFP.
Cool. What is it?
It is dancing toddlers.
Just in general? Or?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, well, mine specifically. Uh-huh. I'm just like the dancing. So, uh-huh, okay. Uh-huh. So this week, he's always been like fun moving around and stuff, but he's suddenly learned, he's learned how to turn our Sonos soundbar on.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's in front of the TV, right? And he's just gotten tall enough to he can reach the buttons on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes pressing the buttons. And the way, for people who have Sonos, like, the way it works is it actually has its own connection to the internet, so it doesn't have to be, like, necessarily controlled by your phone.
Right.
And it kind of, like, stores whatever's been playing in it, right? So we must have had this playlist. It's, like, Corey's best music playlist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it must have been, like, the last thing he had put on that speaker, because my toddler went up to it, pressed play, and all of a sudden Outkast started playing. And I have a video of this because it was so funny. He did this a bunch of times. It was actually in the middle of my toddler and me class. So I was like on a Zoom call learning about, you know, who knows, like sleep regressions or something.
Uh-huh.
And he runs over, turns it on, hears the music, and then he just starts dancing, like jamming, like bobbing his head and like just shuffling his feet. And it's the funniest, cutest thing.
Oh, that's so cute.
And he's just been doing it a lot. Like, not just when he turns the music on. We'll turn music on, you know, and I'll ask him what song he wants to hear. And he'll say, you know, Cuckoo. He loves The Cuckoo by Casper Baby Pants.
Uh-huh.
And he'll turn it on and he'll start dancing. He likes spinning around. He's just really enjoying moving his body in uh-huh. general. And it's just really fun to watch. Like, it's just a very entertaining show.
That
so
is
that's
so
my BFP.
Great. I think that we should do a Zoom dance party with our toddlers, like listening to the same music and dancing. Why have we not done this yet?
That would be so fun.
That would be so fun.
They would love it, I think.
Maybe. Or they would look at the screen for 1 second and then.
Also possible.
Very
yeah.
possible. But we should try at least.
We should try. Yeah.
That'd be cute.
A little dance party. So yeah, it's one of the real joys of this age is watching them learn how to move their bodies and really engage with music and
uh-huh
yeah
I love
shuffle,
it
shuffle so
cute.
That's my super quick BFP. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
yay,
it's a product that I bought this week. It is the Fisher Price Pink Princess Step Stool Potty.
Ooh, potty already?
Yeah, I bought a potty. Partially because I think she's just starting to show a little bit more interest and awareness mm-hmm. of potty stuff. And also, I'm just kind of honestly like a little bit addicted to buying stuff on Amazon right now because we're in this pandemic and I can't go anywhere. And getting packages is so exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little bit early. I don't think I'm going to actually start to potty train her.
Mm-hmm.
But I do just want it around so she can kind of see it and get used to it. And I'm glad I did because she is not really into it quite yet. She's a little nervous about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Elle is trying to show her how to sit on it and stuff. And she kind of sat like on the very edge of it for a second. And I tried to scooch her whole butt on it. She's like, not yet. She'll get there. But it's such a cute potty. I just love it. I'm very excited about it.
So yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah. First of all, it has a lid, which is very cool. So when you put the lid down, it turns into a step stool. Okay. So it's a 2-in-1. Uh-huh. And the other thing about this potty is that it plays music when you pee or poop into it.
Oh my God. Like what kind of music?
So it's a princess potty, right? So it's kind of like a royal regal tune, like da 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 okay. da da da.
Oh, I see.
It has
the
these
queen
two,
is
like,
here.
It has these like two little metal sensors in it. I don't know how it's activated, if it's activated by weight or what, but you know,
okay.
I've tested it with like water, right? You pour water in and then
yeah.
it activates. It's like da 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 da. And I don't know. I thought that would delight her. It's just kind of freaking her out at this point.
No.
So maybe this BFP is more for me. Because I think it's so cute.
I feel like there are adults who would be very motivated by that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like that Pavlovian response.
Yes. Okay, so it's cute and it makes music.
It makes music. Is there anything else? It doubles as a step stool. And the reason I got this one, I mean, it's very girly. Obviously, it's princess. It's pink. And I usually don't like necessarily go for all the gendered things like this. But I was searching and searching for a little potty that didn't have that like splash guard, you know, like that little bump on the front of the seat that like catches pee from wieners, I guess, like little boys.
Oh, it's like it like raises up in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was like,
got it.
She's a little bit more of a hesitant baby. I just know that that is going to be a barrier for her wanting to sit on this thing, having to like get over that. Was like the one potty I could find that didn't have that. And so that's really why I got it. So to me, that's a plus. And then all the other stuff is just fun and cute and hopefully motivates her when the time comes.
When did Elle potty train?
I started her around 2. She was like super aware of her potty, you know, like poop and pee. And I was just like, I know she could do it. But it was really hard because she was in daycare all day, and daycare was like not keen on letting her wear undies at daycare. Like they're like, she has to wear pull-ups here. And pull-ups are tricky, like when you're potty training, because it feels like a diaper. So the kids just go in it, you know? It's like if you're going to really go for potty training, you have to go like no, like commando or undies, really. You can't.
Yeah.
Really do pull-ups. And so that set her back for about 6 months until we changed schools. Then they were very supportive. So like a week after she got to her new school at 2.5, she just did it. So
that's cool. And so you guys, I feel like you've mentioned this before, that you use the oh crap method, right?
Yeah, the book is called Oh Crap Potty Training: Everything Modern Parents Need to Know to Do It Once and Do It Right, by Jamie Glawacki. And I'd heard so much about it in my mom's group. Like, it's kind of an intense process. Like, you're supposed to spend 3 full days at home with the kid naked. For like, don't go anywhere. Just be home. Let the kid be naked. And every time they start to go pee, like, put them on the potty, you know, like every single time. And then they start to get it.
Understand.
Yeah, it's intense. Some people hate it with a passion. I always take these kinds of things with a grain of salt. I'm like, I'll just modify it to fit our lifestyle and it will be fine. She'll learn when she learns. But I like it in general because she's the one who gave the advice of like, pull-ups don't do anything. You know, go naked for a bit and then wear undies. And yeah, it's kind of the perfect time, though. Like, we're stuck at home with these stay-at-home
orders. You're like, gee, 3 days of not going anywhere. Try 100.
Try 125. I know. I kind of wish she was more interested in the potty because I would do it now. It'd be perfect. But we're going to be at home for another year anyway, so it'll be fine. Man. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but it's fun. Now you're prepared. You've got the pink princess potty that announces a poop.
Yes, yes. The whole household will know. Oh, my gosh. So, that's it for me. And I think that's it for our show.
I think you're right.
Yay. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any fun throwback stories, we want to hear them. And we would love to share them on our show. If you would like to send us a voice memo, that would be so fun. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. You can also join our Facebook community group. It's a private group, so if you search Big Fat Positive Community and request to join, answer the 2 membership questions, and then I will add you, and you can join in on all the awesome conversations we're having in there. You can also send us an email or voice memo to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com or visit our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
If you love the show, please give us a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love our show, please give us 5 stars and let the world know why you like us. It helps new listeners take the chance to dive in and give that first episode a try. And if you know anyone who is pregnant or trying to conceive or a new parent, let them know about our show. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.